Fallen the carpenter, Fallen the carpenter, that's just what I want to do with my day. Follow the carpenter, look at all these people. Fallen the carpenter, whew, it is hot, I'm going to sit down for a minute. Young lady, come over here and have a seat. You look like you're about ready to drop with that little boy you're carrying. Have a seat here. I think that carpenter is going to be there when we get there. Hoo-wee. I tell you, fish. If I never see another fish as long as I live, it'll be too soon. And men, about as useful as a bull on your thumb. Running around following some jack-a-trade carpenter and leaving all the work to the women. How typical. Let me tell you about my brother Simon. Oh, excuse me. We have to call him Peter now. The carpenter renamed him. Peter. It means the rock. You know, that kind of suits him. I always said Simon's head was as hard as a rock. The luckhead. Well, anyway, Simon is a fisherman. And about, I'd say 6 weeks ago, Simon decided to go fishing. Now that shouldn't seem unusual, except that it wasn't fishing season. And I didn't figure that they'd catch anything, but you know, it'd get 'em out from under my feet for the afternoon and maybe, just maybe, he'd luck up and catch enough for dinner. But, like I told him, he and Andrew were coming up empty-handed. Empty-headed, if you ask me. And they'd pulled up the nets and were cleaning them when all of a sudden, this fella shows up on shore. A carpenter, no less. And he tells Simon to throw his nets out. Have you ever... A carpenter telling a fisherman what to do. And do you know what Simon did? He threw his nets out into the shallows, where everybody knows you're liable to get 'em snagged and get holes in 'em. But wonders of wonders. By coincidence, a big school of fish had gotten trapped in the shallows, and Simon dropped his net right on top of 'em. He and Andrew would have swamped the boat, but our other cousins, James and John, came over. They filled up their boat, too. And then, do you know what Simon did? Well, as opposed to waiting till they got to shore, he jumps in the water, wades to shore, drops on his knees in front of this carpenter, and says he wants to follow and learn from him. Now, have you ever heard of a fisherman turning into a carpenter? But that's our Simon. And James and John and Andrew weren't any better. They have always imitated anything Simon did ever since they were little boys. And they left me with this monstrous, stinking, slimy pile of fish. Didn't even look around. I mean, I didn't even have the drying racks ready or the green wood cut. I had to go in and get all the women from the village, and we worked the rest of that afternoon, that night, and all the next day to put those fish up. And I know I shouldn't complain, but if I know Simon, he's going to show up and take credit for all the catching of the fish. And he won't think for 1 minute about those of us he left to take care of his mess. Whew-wee. It is hot. Can you believe all these people traipsing up and down these hills, kicking up so much dust, making my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth? Makes it kind of hard to talk. You know, I wouldn't be out here except I'm going to go find Simon. He's got to come home, and he's got to bring James and John and Andrew. I mean, it's well and good being a pious Jew on the Sabbath, or sitting around at night and talking about Scripture, but they've got home responsibilities. The fish are really coming in, and, well, they need to go out and catch them, and we got to put them up and take them down to Jerusalem to sell. How else do they think their family's going to get money to live? I hadn't seen this carpenter handing out any wages. And if the truth be told, I hadn't seen the first stick of furniture being built either. Mm-mm. Now, honey, how come you're out here? You don't look strong enough to pick up a load of laundry, much less be carrying that little boy. Put him down. He is old enough to walk. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see his poor little leg. Oh, poor little crippled thing. I bet that makes it hard for him to keep up. I guess he can't play with the other kids either, huh? Children can be so cruel. Well, I tell you what. Let's get a move on and I'll carry him for a while. All right? Come on, hop on my back. Okay. You ready? Settled? Well, let's go and follow the carpenter. So, why are you out here? I mean, it's not like we're going on a picnic or anything. You heard the carpenter heals people, and I'm Herod's third wife. I mean, honey, I don't know what kind of spell this man puts people under, but, well, you know, we're just here on this world to carry our heavy loads the best way we can. And I'm just saying, don't get your hopes up. No, I don't know. I think these people, these men, are just out to get away from home responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And they're a little bit of partiers, if you ask me. A couple weeks ago, they all went to a wedding over in Canaan. And Simon didn't know anybody at the wedding. But, oh, he was there. And they were partying so hardy that they ran out of wine. Well, the carpenter tells the host to bring 2 big barrels of water. And so the story goes, he turned them into wine. And they partied until the sun came up. Now, does that sound like a holy man to you or not? And if I know Simon, he's been trying to figure out that trick of turning water to wine ever since. What's happening? Why is everybody stopping? Here. Take my hand and we'll see if we can get ahead. Excuse me, step aside. My brother Peter's with the carpenter's group. Excuse me. We've got to get to the carpenter's group. My brother Simon's one with the carpenter. Move aside. Well, this looks like about as far as we can get. Let's wait until he finishes talking. Here, honey. Off my back. Have a seat. There you go. What is he saying? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, he's got that right. Because I tell you, the poor in spirit sure aren't going to see any kingdom here on earth. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, that's right too, because let me tell you, the meek sure eat a lot of dirt when the Romans walk by and shove their faces in it. Oh, all right, I'll be quiet, but he's got some pretty highfalutin ideas that sound good in the air, but just don't quite pan out when they hit the ground. Kind of like some of Simon's fish stories. You know, I wonder what they're going to do when all these people start getting hungry. I doubt many of them had the foresight to bring lunch. Now don't you worry, honey. I got enough fish here for the 3 of us. And I baked these little rolls this morning. Here, you take these 2 fish and these 5 rolls and give them to your little boy. That'll keep him satisfied till supper. Mm-hmm. Now, What's he telling Simon? Have everybody sit down and they'll provide lunch? As if Simon has enough money to buy himself lunch, much less this huge crowd. Little boy, come back here. Honey, what's your little boy doing? Poor little tyke, can barely drag that little leg of his. Why is he going up to the carpenter? Would you look at that? He's giving the carpenter his lunch. As if he thinks that little bit will make a difference. The ideas that children get. My, my. Hey, look over there. You see that Samaritan trying to offer that Pharisee a piece of bread? I'll bet that Pharisee will offer him a piece of his mind when he sees who's tugging on his robe. Wait a minute. The Pharisee's taking the bread and thanking the Samaritan? I have never in my born days. And where'd that beggar get that fish? And that widow woman that piece of bread? Where's all this food coming from? Oh, honey, your little boy's coming back and he's running. He's skipping. Honey, don't cry, but his little leg, it's straight as an arrow. What's happening? Maybe Simon is right. Maybe this carpenter is who we've been too afraid to hope he is. Maybe the meek will inherit the earth, and the little child's limp and the sparrow's fall won't go unnoticed. Maybe God does love us. Come on, we're going to go find Peter. Peter will tell us what to do.